Welcome to Insta Poetic Justice, the first podcast of its kind discussing the ever-evolving terrain of poetry and technology and how these two have merged together to create the subgenre that is Insta Poetry. Here I will interview poets about poets as we weigh in on the positives and negatives of this new literary phenomenon. I'm your host, Amy Sophia Mayer. You can check out my poetry books at www.paganpoetess.com. Supporting me via my published works is the best way to ensure all these podcasts remain free and accessible to everyone. And now, on with the show. Welcome back, poetry lovers. This is episode number 8 of Insta Poetic Justice. I'm your host, Amy Sophia Mayer. And today I'm joined by the poet, Molly Morton. Hi, Molly.
Hey.
Some of you may know Molly as Sol et Luna Writes on Instagram. As always, with each guest speaker, her info will be in the description box of this episode so you can check out all her latest works. So thank you so much for taking the time to join us, Molly.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great.
Of course. And are you ready to get started?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, then. Wonderful. So I have a few questions that I just wanted to ask you. So of course, first of all, where are you from? Like, what do you do outside of writing? Just give us a little intro of yourself.
Sure. Yes, I am from the middle of England, but I live in London now, where I study fashion. So I'm about to sort of going into my final year at university, making all these clothes, which is, stressful, but good.
Like, is it specifically fashion design or another element of the industry?
It's pretty specifically design, so just a lot of design and a lot of making, pretty much. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wonderful. Well, you're in London, that's the place to do it.
Sure. Not great at the moment with everything that's happening, but you know.
Of course. I don't want to think about all, well, I'm just thinking fashion shows, they're the type of thing that I guess could be socially distanced, could they? I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's been a few, but I think digital is the way forward now. I think everything is just going to be online.
Alrighty. So you're student specifically for fashion, and what got you specifically into writing?
I think when I was a kid, I would write like lyrics for silly little songs, you know. I think it became just more of like a journal. It became just how I got out all my, you know, teenage feelings, not even teenage, preteen, all my feelings that I didn't really understand. It's just an easy way to let it out, you know. So it became getting thoughts out of my head, I think.
Wonderful. And I'm just curious, you know, since you're studying fashion design, how do you feel your creative outlet of writing is different from the creative outlet of, you know, fashion?
I think writing to me is not something that I do with the intention of doing it well, in a way, if that makes sense. Like, I do it similarly to, like, I love to take photos, and I do it because I enjoy it and I'm having fun with it, and I don't mind if someone judges it or not. So it's very like free, very liberating, and very much like I can do it and I can love it even if it's terrible. Whereas, you know, design is something that I do, and that it's a creative outlet and it's great and I'm expressing myself, but it has to be good and it's stressful and it's intense and it's that. So it's, writing is kind of lovely and enjoyable for me. Whereas fashion is hard. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I can get that. I wouldn't say necessarily you hold yourself to a lower standard, but there just is not the same pressure. Am I right?
Sure.
Yeah. Cause I probably feel the same way about my art photography because you know, I hope at some point, you know, to sell, you know, for my poetry to be good enough to sell. And, but I have another hobby, which is specifically art photography, where I take photos myself, but I also edit them with like filter apps and make them very painting-esque and very non-naturalistic. And so, but yeah, that's purely, you know, something I do for fun. I don't care if someone's judging me that, oh, that is ugly, that technique is horrible, you know. Yeah. So for me, my art photography is kind of in that category.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nice. So out of curiosity, your Instagram, you know, username, Sol et Luna Writes, why that? What's the story behind that?
And when I first created it, I wanted it to be anonymous. So it wouldn't have my name. So I have a tattoo which says La Luna, has a picture of the moon. So some people called me Luna or Miss Luna specifically. So I was like, I'll use Luna as my pen name. So then Sol e Luna is, so Sol also means sun, but also is sort of part of the French word for willow tree. So as a whole, it's a, the meaning is a bit too in-depth. Basically, it's kind of like a wordplay on sun and moon, but also to my brain, it's also about willow trees as well. So,
oh, that's interesting. Like I speak French as well, and I knew Sol immediately to be like, you know, the sort of Latin root for sun, but I did not pick up on the willow tree part, which gets fascinating. I know, all I know is that my specific Celtic tree zodiac is the willow.
Wow. Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So cool. Okay. So yeah, seems to be a lot of depth to it. Wonderful. So, you know, with again, an intense industry that you want to you're studying and want to work in fashion, how do you juggle writing with your other responsibilities?
Not necessarily very well. I think I often let it go for too long. Like I'll go for months and I haven't written anything, and then I can I can tell, because you know it's your outlet for getting all your feelings and your thoughts out. So then you start to feel so like all clogged up and confused, and you're like, I haven't been writing poetry. So then you know, so it's sort of, it really fluctuates quite a lot depending. So if I'm very busy, I just do not write. I'm not active on Instagram, and then I come back to it and I'm like, why have I not been doing this whole time? So I don't necessarily juggle it well always, but
yeah, no, I am the same way. I was more consistent, but since I've gotten so many podcast projects going on, my writing is kind of going by the wayside, but I need to get back into it.
Definitely, me too.
So for you in poetry, what's more important, structure or content?
Definitely content.
And why?
I think for me, poetry is less about any sort of technicalities and all about feeling. And you know, the feeling and the flow and the emotions and or the pictures, the painting, whatever, like whatever it's expressing is more important to me than structure and form.
So if you have spent any, what was the best money you ever spent as a writer? Was there any specific thing you purchased that you felt was a good investment for your writing or your creative outlets?
For my typewriter, maybe.
So you have like a vintage typewriter?
I do. I got it many years ago now. A long
Where'd
time
you
ago.
Get it?
I got it on eBay for 99p.
Oh.
Like a good, a long time, 10 years ago maybe. Oh.
And it's still working?
It's still working. Yeah, I have to fix her occasionally, but she's still going. She sits on my desk. She moves with me around the country and
Oh, that's
lovely.
Oh, that's wonderful. I don't know. It's just, yeah, no, I know you're not the only poet that I've interviewed that has like the classic typewriter. And I've just never, you know, as much as I read historical fiction and I romanticize the past, I just haven't had that inkling that I need the vintage typewriter. Like, what specifically about it is so appealing? I'm curious.
I mean, to be fair, I'm very much into my antiques and design and just old things and analog things. Like, I'm obsessed with film photography and anything analog I love. So the simplicity and the process of you know, just, it's the simple things, just touching the keys and watching it like slam ink onto a page is like, to me, the whole process is beautiful and the design is lovely and it's so nostalgic and wonderful. Yeah.
Great. So going into like the general realm of Insta poetry, do you think Insta poetry and Insta poet, do you think those are problematic terms? Why or why not?
I guess maybe there's a bit of a stigma around the terms, even to me as one of them, as an Insta poet. It's one of those things where suddenly anyone can be one, you know, just as we all have phones and now we're all photographers, and it's one of those, which is not a problem, I think. I think, yeah, of course, anyone can be a poet. It might not be subjectively good, but why can't they? So it's like So maybe there's a lot of insta poetry out there which maybe isn't necessarily the best thing, but also I don't know if it harms anyone. So if
Right. Yeah, no,
that
it's just
makes sense.
I personally embrace the notion of Instapoet because I don't
Yeah.
know, just in me and my personal truth, I don't see Instapoetry necessarily as being a contrast to like poets that write on Instagram versus poets that exclusively like have poems in books. Like I to me there's plenty of overlap. Like to me, Instapoet just means that a poet who is embracing the use of technology as a means of, expanding their brand. That doesn't, like, to me, it doesn't mean that they're exclusively on Instagram or that automatically diminishes the quality of their work or stuff like that. So, like, I do acknowledge that there is a stigma definitely with it, but I try to do the flip on it, being like, no, this is not necessarily a bad thing, and I'm going to embrace this term.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I also think like it's a really beautiful community, the Instapoet community. So it's like, sure, it has
Right.
that, but also, yeah, like you say, you embrace how broad that is and who the poets are and everything. But it's very beautiful as well. So.
So as you know, because of, Instapoetry, there's a huge sort of debate going on between Instapoetry and the traditional academic poetry establishment. What do you think needs to happen to help foster goodwill between these two entities that have traditionally been at odds within the last like 10 years?
I'm really sorry, my internet went a bit dodgy there. Would you mind repeating the question?
Okay, so within the last 10 years of kind of Instapoetry being in existence, there's been a huge tension between Instapoetry and the traditional academic poetry establishment. Like, what do you think would need to happen to help foster goodwill for like traditional poetry establish to embrace the validity of Instapoetry?
I wonder. I don't know, do you, maybe they need to, oh my goodness, sorry.
Again, you can
Maybe,
think about
yeah.
it. It's a very deep question.
I mean, maybe it's just a lack of sort of it's hearing the phrase and just instantly judging without experiencing it. Like maybe there needs to be more of a virtual bonding between the two. Maybe get more academic poetry online, or maybe more of a collection.
So,
Although.
no, I think that's definitely a good point. Like, if you we could get the traditional poetry establishment to embrace the use of technology in spreading poetry, then maybe they wouldn't be quite as judgmental because a big chunk of it's not just in poetry, but there's this huge perception of the validity of a piece of writing, whether it's been published in a physical book or whether it's just online on a website.
Yeah, that's true.
Which to a certain extent is because of, with books and like traditional publishing houses, there's a bit of gatekeeping, so you're you're in theory supporting a certain degree of quality. But as we all know, I will sometimes look at books, open them, and I'm like, how did this get past an editor? And then there'll be like, self-published things that I'll be like, or even just fan fictions online. I'm like, oh my God, this is brilliant. In writing, would you personally prefer commercial or literary success?
I'm so sorry again. My internet is not being
Okay.
friendly. Sorry.
Okay. Alrighty. So, would you personally prefer commercial success, like in your writing, like maybe not getting that many like academic accolades or acknowledgments, but commercially benefiting from your works? Or would you prefer to have a moderate monetary success and then but be very praised for like your poems being like very critical?
Well, that's tricky. I mean, it would always be nice to make a few pennies, but also I think my writing wouldn't be praised by academic people. So
Well, I guess it ties into the question of do you intend to pursue writing professionally? And again, people's definitions of success are different.
sure. Yeah. So I think my ideal is like, sure, I've like I've made some little handmade books of poetry before, and very kind people have bought those from Etsy. So in that way, like, sure, I'd love to be able to make books and sell books, but equally, it's not. I don't think, I hate to say that I'm not necessarily good enough, but I don't intend to pursue it in a traditional professional manner, if that makes sense.
Of course, and that is totally fine because you'll be too busy being in pa at Paris Fashion Week.
Oh man. Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Alrighty then, last question. Dead or alive, which poets would you want to invite to dinner and what would you serve them?
Oh my goodness. I'm one of those terrible people who's like, who are my favorite poets? Who are my favorite artists? Who are my favorite fashion designers? I don't know.
We
Oh
can skip the
goodness.
question if you
Yeah.
want.
I'm so sorry, that's like something that I should not have to skip. I
Okay.
tell you what, but I know there are a lot of people who I should invite and who I could say, but equally I would love to invite my Insta poet friends from across the seas to dinner and I don't know, make them something delicious and vegan. I
Oh, are you vegan?
am, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Alrighty then. Well, thank you so much. And now we're going to move on to the recitation of your three poems. Would you like to share them with us now?
Okay, sure. Okay. Is it all fairly recent?
Yeah, so Jay, yeah, just tell us the name of the poem first before you read aloud, if it has one.
I think these are all untitled.
Okay,
Although
all right,
I
big
can
deal.
share the little caption, maybe. The caption will
Yeah.
maybe be enough. Oh, okay,
Yeah,
maybe not
go
this one.
for it.
Untitled, but we'll go for it. Okay. When it rains, I leave my window open. Listen to it heavy and falling, droplets and pavements kissing. Take five drifting through the streets and into my hideaway to Brubeck's beat. The city taps its feet, smiles lazily and beckons. When it rains, I leave my window open and in seeps heaven.
Oh, that's cute. I especially like the imagery of the raindrops and the pavement kissing as the
Yeah.
raindrop makes impact. That's good.
Nice, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. And your next poem, please.
yeah. Okay. Today I broke a heart for the first time. It felt like a petrol chaser for a shot of putrid wine, like it's gnawing at your stomach, like tomorrow you'll regret it, but for now set the whole lot on fire and feel. I'm so. Oof. So, what if I start that one again?
Yeah, you can start again if you want.
Thank you. Tripped over my words there. Today I broke a heart for the first time. It felt like a petrol chaser for a shot of putrid wine, like it's gnawing at your stomach. Like tomorrow you'll regret it, but for now, set the whole lot on fire, and it feels like relief for creating change, for how making a mistake felt so free. Watch the smoke on the breeze, let it scald your eyes and make you weep. Choke on broken trust and promises you couldn't keep, until the air is pure forgiveness and wonder, and all you can do is breathe.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
good. I especially like the imagery of the smoke in the breeze. That made me think of I don't know if you've seen in the news, there's been a lot of wildfires on the west coast of the US
Yeah,
this year.
oh, so sad, yeah.
Yeah, and to the point my parents live there and actually had to be evacuated.
Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. That must be so
Luckily
stressful.
the one fire that threatened their house decided to blow east, and so they've moved back home and everything is fine. But yeah,
Thank
for a week
goodness.
we're For a week, we were just like, "What are is our is my childhood home going to be burnt to the ground?"
Oh my God, that's horrible. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, but luckily
Oh,
everything's good. But yeah,
yeah, it's
just
good.
all fire images and poetry make me go to that now.
Wow.
Yeah. Alrighty then, and with your last poem, please.
Okay, I'm torn between two here. Okay, I'll read this one just because it's so relevant today. Not just today, every day now. The caption was, "Please learn from this." A light switched on. Through a callous open door crawled a crisis so horrific, stealing breaths and heartbeats, so blinding that no one could look away from all it illuminated. From air once smog, now sitting in stillness, from the fragility of capitalism and our incessant greed and selfishness, from the underfunded, unnecessary deaths unaccounted for in the unbearable wait for an ambulance, the healthcare stretched thin by years of a system not designed to serve the human being. I dread the day it ends. when the country claps its hands and says, "Our leader is a hero, we won another war," closing its eyes again before carrying on exactly as before.
Ooh, very political. Although, you know, in my personal opinion, like, you know, having basic access to healthcare should not be a political issue. That should be just everyone. But
absolutely, absolutely.
But I live in America, where sometimes there are a few morons who think that common courtesy is communism.
Honestly, it's just the worst. Even, I mean, we have this beautiful healthcare, and yet it's still just in complete shambles right now. We have it and we don't take care of it. It's awful.
I can't think of anything worse than the US, so please, like, how is it? Like, what's yeah. bad about it?
I mean, okay, so obviously it's great that we have free healthcare. It's accessible. It should be anyway. But it's just completely underfunded. The government just do not give it the money it needs. So it essentially just became a charity after, you know, during this pandemic. Like, they had just did not have enough equipment. They didn't have enough masks. They didn't have any PPE. It was a bit of a nightmare. Not enough, you know, beds, ventilators. Just it's just not taken care of by our government, unfortunately.
Yeah. So yeah, you're currently in London, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
How is the pandemic specifically in London? Because, you know, for us, New York City was a mess.
Oh my god. Yeah. In fairness, I don't think London has been hit too bad at the moment. It's sort of the north of England is really in lockdown and is getting worse there. We're sort of okay. I think it shut down so quickly, and so there was just no one moving around so much. It was sort of as bad as the rest of the UK, but not too awful. I get a bit scared going on, you know, the public transport. Like, I went from South London to North London and back again today, and it's like getting the tube just feels like, oh, this is awful. Even though there's hardly anyone there, you know, it still feels awful.
Oh, I can't, I can't even imagine, because, you know, I live in a very rural area in the US, so I can easily just hide out until this is over.
Yeah, nice. I was in South Korea for the first 6 months of this, so I only just got back like a month ago. So I was hiding out, having a great time, and I came back, and now I'm like, this is what you guys have been living with for like all year. Like, how have you survived? Yep. Now I'm like, okay, I get it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing a little about yourself and your poetry. And so now we are going to move on to our specific Instapoet for a discussion today, which is Christopher Poindexter. So I found a little intro about him that I'm going to read. So Christopher Poindexter is a Bohemian poet who began writing poetry on a rebellious trip to California when he was 18. He considers himself more of an observer, trying to make sense of the human condition in all of its grit and glory. Being very inspired by both the darkness and the light, he aims to share an ultimate truth in all of his writing. Though we all have our dances with demons, our hearts haunted by loss, by fear, it is light that always beckons us, calls out our name, and even in the darkest hours. That is why we must love one another, because we are not alone in this. So yeah, I took a peek at his website, and, you know, he definitely embraces the whole bohemian hipster, starving artist, poet persona.
Yeah, I had a look too. I was like, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I actually, for the research of this podcast, I purchased his poetry book, Old Souled Love. And so all the poems that I chose to like recite from him are from this book. Okay. So would you like to share one of the poems you chose from him?
Yeah, sure. Let's find one. Okay. Okay, I don't see a title, but we'll go for it. Never go by the book. They will want you to, but you mustn't. If the lust is too strong, tear one page from 100 books and make your own way. There is no formula for life, no equation on how to be a human being. Find your freedom and breathe there, drink there, love there. I really like that one. Don't know about you.
Why'd you choose that one?
I mean, obviously the message is lovely, but I quite like a lot of the bits in the writing, like tear one page from 100 books and make your own way. Something, to me, there's something really powerful in that, really like passionate, really just so lustful, so strong. And the ending, the sort of breathe there, drink there, love there, it's all very very, you know, free bohemian, find your way, but quite beautifully written.
Alrighty then, wonderful. So let me read this one. Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't think very few of his poems have names. None of them do in this book that I have. So the first poem that I chose is on page 8 of Old Soul Love. He thought as the moonlight swam into the window and lit her shoulder blades, there is nothing more beautiful than the way the universe is always chasing you.
Wow.
Yeah, I like that because, again, some of his poems, like I can kind of see some of his critics, because he is definitely criticized, kind of like Rupi Kaur, about the way his style can sometimes be, again, seemingly very simplistic, and people get really annoyed by that. And so I can kind of see why people would dislike him. But for me personally, going through his poems, like seeing poems like that, like as the moonlight swam into the window and, like, you know, shone light on her shoulder blades, like I think that's a pretty way to express a poetic image with using fairly simplistic
Definitely.
language.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think I completely respect those criticisms of Instapoets, but equally I think like Christopher Poindexter, in my opinion, he's writing in a different way to not naming any names. There are some other very famous Instapoets whose micro poems are very simplistic and they're lovely, but I think that he is at least taking it a little bit further in some ways.
Yeah, I can definitely say he is taking it further than someone, say, Amanda Lovelace. Yeah,
but like is
I have some.
obviously
I'm
sorry.
sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say like it's all valid. I'm not trying to put anyone down because I have, you know, I'm no different. It's all
Oh,
valid
it's
in its
like.
own right. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, you know, as I repeat consistently on this podcast, I tend to view. You know, Instapoets, there's good poets and there's bad poets, and that's just that, and that's personal opinion. And I think the use of technology should not be a factor in trying to like judge that. So, all right, would you like to read the next poem you chose from him?
Sure, yeah. I watched a girl in a sundress kiss another girl on a park bench, and just as the sunlight spilled perfectly onto both of their hair, I thought to myself, how bravely beautiful it is that sometimes the sea wants the city, even when it has been told its entire life it was meant for the shore.
So very pro LGBTQ plus.
Definitely, yeah, I appreciated that, I think. Yeah, I think just that little the little analogy of, you know, the sea and the city when all it's been told was sure. That was something, you know, it was something nice. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like it because, you know, because there are some who view Instapoetry as like they don't like to consider it poetry, but they don't want to consider it poetry, but at the same time, you know, they appreciate the sort of messages and the sort of activism
Yeah.
that certain poets do in their writing. They just don't want it to be have the poet the traditional poetry label, but I'm okay with calling them poets.
Yeah, totally. I mean, no, I can't say this because I'm not one of those people who knows about actual poetry. But I would say everyone's a poet, just in the way everyone's an artist. You can
So here, let me find one. Okay, this is on page 77 of his book. The blessing and the curse continuing over and over again to always see the best in people, no matter the cost. And I really liked this poem because, again, I can see why people might be put off by him by seeming simplistic language, but for me, the content just specifically of that message really resonated with me because I am just one of those people that, again, once I'm a hardcore Hufflepuff, I want to see the best in people.
Yeah, I can relate.
And like, and even if I don't, if and I fool myself into thinking that people will be good, not necessarily because they're morally good, but I expect them to like behave or follow the rules, like based on their own
Yeah.
self-interest, that they won't want to create trouble for themselves. You know, later down
Yeah.
the line, and you know, even if it's not, I'm a morally good person, I have a sense of, you know, self-interest, and still they screw up.
Oh yes, oh my goodness.
Would you like to read the next poem, please?
Yeah, sure. Sometimes I just feel impossible, like life wasn't meant for me, like it was an interview I showed up to drunk out of my mind. Yeah, I feel like this. Yeah.
Like it took a minute for it to hit, and then I figured it out.
Yeah, I appreciate that little bit of humor, you know. It's very much like aching poet, like, this is impossible. This hurts so bad, but I like that there was some kind of dark-ish. There's some nice sort of humor there, you know, it's like.
I just especially just like the imagery of the end because I all of last year I was doing intense job interviews and I landed a position that I really enjoy now, but just that whole like there it does come to a point where you're doing so many of them and you're just like I just you just want to drink beforehand and I was like nope.
Totally. It also you just like you read this and you're like, yeah, he's definitely done that, hasn't he? But
Definitely.
yeah.
Ooh, here's one I really liked. On that day, I grew to understand my Gemini blood. I feel so much sometimes to the point of feeling nothing at all. And I really enjoyed this poem because I'm a huge, I am a practicing pagan, so I'm a huge fan of astrology and just the whole the idea of my Gemini blood. I'd never seen Gemini used as an adjective in that way, but and then because Gemini is all about like the twins, the duality, so feeling everything and nothing at the same time. So I'm just like, yeah, I approve.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's a very poet thing as well, isn't it? It's very, very lovely. All that, I think we can all relate to feeling so much that we don't really feel anymore. So yeah, nice.
Yeah, okay. Would you like to read the next poem?
Sure. Okay, this is quite a long one.
Okay.
Last night I wrote a letter to my brother explaining what he must do if I die before him. The letter read, "My dear brother, at my funeral, please do not let the preacher get on stage and speak bullshit to the crowd. Do not let him say what he always says when people pass. He was a good man. He is in a better place now, and his spirit will always be with us. Make him say the truth. Tell him about my drunkenness and selfishness and laziness, and how I always had a difficult time loving the things I loved the most. Tell him about our drug-inflicted alcoholic father and how I spent my days trying to escape the cloned body he gave me. How one day I was kneeling at an altar, and the next I was drunk with him in his tiny cluttered apartment. Do not let them dress me in gold if that was a color I did not own. You make sure they know who I was and how burdensome life was for me most days. But most of all, God damn it, you make sure they know that I loved the human race beyond anything, that all I ever did was in the name of human. Let them paint my grave with the word alone. Do not even put my name on it. So yeah, so but what I really enjoyed. There's a lot of pain in this. There's a lot of hurt, and there's a lot of power, which is lovely, and also very sad. It's also kind of especially the ending. I didn't want to say self-pitying or wallowing, but it's a little bit a bit of that. But then the caption is
Self-deprecating.
But then the caption sort of explains that he posts it every so often to remind himself how far he's come. So I appreciate that it's kind of self-aware, is that it's like, yeah, I'm doing better than this. But at the same
No,
time it's yeah. Sorry.
I really like it because it's playing to that, just in general, we want to like show the best version of ourselves, but especially when someone dies, we want to suddenly like paint this rose-tinted image of how great they were because just we feel bad that they died. And yeah, just the whole notions of, trying how, it's, I'm thinking we should as a society kind of move away. We can honor someone and still acknowledge their flaws.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, totally.
Because
I agree.
because this whole notion of like saving face and stuff like that, I've come into it a lot. I've thought about it a lot throughout my life because though I'm American, I spent a great deal of time in the Middle East and in Turkey and in Arab countries where the concept of honor is still so very strong. And like the biggest difference, cultural difference, I feel between what we want to very simply, very, this is a very oversimplified version, but the way we want to distinguish between the East and the West is, for better or worse, the West has moved beyond the need, that desperate need to maintain that perfect facade at all times. Like when I go when I go to, you know, an Arab country, yes, people are drinking, people are smoking, people are having illicit relationships. They are doing all the same things that people in the West do. There's just the difference of they hide it more.
Right.
Yeah. So again, so I really like that concept of bringing into, like, you know,
yeah,
challenging the notion that the truth matters more than definitely, the image and definitely the perception.
Yeah. I've been to one of those awkward funerals recently as well, where, you know, they're saying always nice things and everyone's sitting there like, oh, this is awkward. So yeah, that was an extra relevant one, I think.
Yeah, and whereas in your mind you're thinking that mother effer did blah blah blah.
Yeah, it's like, well, half of us know what's really happened here, but we just listen to the, you know, the person at the front saying nice things, and it's, yeah, exactly.
I'll read one more of his poems, and this is on page 51 of his book. Okay. Compassion is not limited to loving only what you understand. If we are kind to only what makes us comfortable, what then? Real love is raw. Sometimes it doesn't sleep. It weeps alone in corners, curses the stars for being unfair. Real love stomachs both the pleasure and pain of another person. It is not always good vibes only. I have always hated that phrase. Sometimes, and quite often, I might add, to love is to be willing to get dirty.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed it because I really liked the sort of macro message of we only are kind to only what makes us, like, comfortable, and, you know, just the notion of, you know, again, traveling so much to the Middle East and, you know, embracing people who have culturally different views than we are, and that's okay, you know, things like that.
Yeah, it's the whole notion of love not just being good vibes. Great, but yeah.
Well, yes, well, only strong love can help you get through the bad times as well.
Uh-huh, for sure.
If you can't get through the bad times, then is that how we would define love? Personally, I wouldn't.
No, exactly.
Alrighty then. Well, those were some lovely pieces in his collection. And now we're going to move on to reading and discussing the two bad reviews from Amazon.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just copy pasted these. These were review, 1-star review and 2-star review from his first book, Old Soul Love, that I pulled up. So what does this person have to say? Not sure how many times the same 10 or so rewritten and originally plagiarized poems can get bound between lame covers, but Poindexter does it again. Always drunk, always in recovery of some disorder, always getting regrammed by a Kardashian. Poindexter delivers another snore fest. Skip it. So, how do you feel about that review?
My first question is, why do they keep buying his books?
Yep.
If they yep. I mean, sure, I understand where they are coming from, I suppose. But I mean, it's sort of like he's writing about his what happened, you know, his getting over some addictions and issues. So if you don't want to read about it, maybe just don't read his books.
Yeah. I always get a kick out of this exercise, because even if I don't like a book, even if I feel enough, like, enough passion about a book I dislike to write a negative review, I'm not going to write something like that. Like, I'm still going to be like, you know, approach it like I would, you know, critiquing like an academic article.
Yeah, or absolutely. Like
something like that. I would not no. just want to crap on someone like this.
But that's what these people like feed off of doing this, right? Because they wouldn't even bother reading it. Like, they know they hate it. They buy it, they read it, and then they review it because they hate it. Like, they obviously get a kick out of being this negative.
Yeah.
Not being constructive.
And, you know, the way he mentions, obviously not in a very nice way, of just 10 or so rewritten, originally plagiarized poems can get bound between lame covers. When I read that, I was just thinking about the notion of, you know, a lot of people complain about interest poetry that's the same themes and the same issues over and over again, and people are bored or sick of it. But I wonder if that's really because the poetry is necessarily bad, because now people, like the majority of the population, is literate, and because we now have access to like self-publish via Instagram, whereas, you know, the average Joe who's working at the factory and maybe wrote poems in his spare time, he did not have the means to like go through the whole complicated process of, you know, getting a publisher and publishing an actual book in the 19th century. So yeah, that's one thing comes to mind of our Instapoets. I'm sure, of course, they're always, you know, good and bad poets, but is the complaint of lack of originality, is it truly because those poems are bad? It's just that we have just access to a lot more of them in a way we just didn't in centuries past.
Yeah, I think that's
like, I feel like, like, I feel like if there was the same access that people, there may be quite a few Shakespeares in like the 16th century, and people would have been crapping on William Shakespeare.
Absolutely. But even so, like, do you think this person reads Shakespeare's plays and prose, and do you think he goes, this is still pretty samey, isn't it? There's always some mistaken identity, like, or not, because, you know, everybody has their themes and they have some similar works. It's not an issue necessarily. But
here's another one. That was the 1-star review. I think this is the 2-star review. And so Christopher Poindexter continues the themes he explores on his popular Instagram page, mainly feeling everything and the recycled love and empathy. While these are good things, it becomes redundant after a while and feels like the same thing his publisher cranks out every month or so. It certainly is popular, but the feels aesthetic is tired by this point. Not to say all the poems are bad, as he does show potential for a poet that will be taken more seriously with future work. So yeah, that is more in line, even if it's a negative review, that is more in line with something that I would deign to write if I was going to do a negative review.
Absolutely. Like, it's not just being cruel, that's honest. And I kind of think, like, the thing with, I guess, a lot of Insta poets is that they're not, I mean, I don't know, I'm not them, I am kind of one, but not, it's that I feel like they're not necessarily trying to give you some incredible, varied intellectual work. They're just putting their thoughts and their own experiences into a book, and then a lot of people take it and read it and they relate to it, and that's sort of often the point of this kind of poetry, I think, isn't it? So it's
indeed. And I forget which of my guests before this said it, but basically, you know, people say they get tired of cliches and, you know, and nostalgia and like the recycled love and empathy, blah blah blah, but the reality is, in our capitalist society, the nostalgia is what sells because we want to feel.
Yeah, it is, and it's infuriating. It is when the popular poems on Instagram are the 5 words, and it's like, it's what we all think, and it's like, oh, this is so unoriginal. But then that's what people love, including me, obviously, as well. We love to read something and go, oh yeah, I feel just like this. It's like, it's we want to relate. We want to be nostalgic, like you say.
I think it's a deep desire. It's one manifestation of the human desire for connection, especially in a time where I feel, in a way, that technology I think has disconnected us in a lot of ways.
Definitely.
So those are the reviews, and now we can close with our more fun exercise of the day, which is hashtag Instapoetry. So do you have your phone handy?
Yep.
Okay. So I want you to go to Instagram.
Okay.
And then search the hashtag Instapoetry.
Sorry, Instapo or Instapoetry?
Instapoetry. And so, and don't just go to the top ones. Make sure to click the tab for the recent ones.
Okay.
Alrighty then. And so, yeah, you can pick whatever poems you want. Whatever comes out to you, read it aloud and see if you like it or not. Here, let me read the first one that comes. This is from Kate Cathesters Poetry. They're in London. And it's like, be yourself, your whole self and nothing but yourself. Sorry, nice. I'm not feeling that.
I appreciate the truth, the whole truth. Like, I appreciate kind of what they did. Like, I want to give them some kind of credit for that. Is it clever? I don't know.
Well, I feel like it would be clever if it was part of something maybe larger.
Yes, that's kind of what we're talking about, isn't it? It's the short things, which we can all agree with.
Well, you can still be short and be powerful, but yeah. You pick one at random, read it, and see whether you like it or not.
Okay, let's take one. Okay. Oh, this is from Haiku for me, not you. A good handle. Forget who I am. I'll come back from the dead when the earth moves once more. Interesting. I'm thinking about it. Like my brain is like turning right now. Like, what are we saying here? But.
Interesting. So here, let me see what else do we got here. Here's one called from Ryan Sam Turner. It's pistanthrophobia. What phobia does that refer to? I don't know. I'm uneducated. Okay, but that's the name of the poem. Bad things have happened in your past, mistakes made by another man, the things he did, the things he said. I never did receive the entire tale. But you gave him chances that you never gave me. You have already decided what our outcome would be. I could understand your trepidation, but what did I really do wrong? I came to you in a panic, yes, only wanting to fix our mess. I was ill at the time, and she opened about that, how I wish you'd been the same with me. But the barriers you built because of him kept me out and locked you in.
Someone's just gone through something. That's quite, I mean, they're clearly feeling something right now, so I don't want to put them down too much. It's a maybe a little bit an attack on someone. I don't want to, again, I can't criticize people's emotions here. It felt a little bit like an attack on someone. Really feeling very hurt by something, and they're just putting it all out there, but then again, like, who am I to judge that? So.
Well, definitely, it's a universal phenomenon. I think we've all been
Yeah,
there
definitely.
of someone hurts us, and then we try to enter a new relationship, and that person is still so gun shy that they think we're going to do the same bad things that the other person did when we're
Yeah.
not. Alrighty, then let me try another one. This one is called Imagination's Cemetery by Tonal Euphony. Okay. A necessary poison, necessary to show poise. When the voices vary, a tireless searching, an atheist of accident, the voice carry. Patience is required, of the mental patience, desire to be necessary, and nature reflected. Connected through the eyes, imagination's cemetery. The words that house, espouse the branches. These intend to marry, define to escape, translate the designed confines of the visionary. I liked that one a lot.
Yeah, that was really nice. That was really, yeah, it
Yeah.
sounded really beautiful.
Yeah, and especially the a necessary poison, necessary to show poise, just that play on words, that was really great.
Nice. Yeah, interesting.
Okay, would you like to read one more,
Oh,
please?
sure. Let's find this. This is from Naked Writing. It did not matter who we were or where we came from. It did not matter back then who we'd become or where we were going. Nothing else mattered. Because we had each other, I will always remember how we had each other.
What do you think about that?
It's one of those where it's said for in very plain words again. Sweet, but a little bit simple, maybe.
Yeah, it was dull to
Yeah,
me. I wasn't feeling it.
was being over polite.
Well, and that concludes the eighth episode of Insta Poetic Justice. Thank you so much for taking the time to discuss Insta poetry with me,
Thank
Molly.
you, it was so much fun.
Yes, and all listeners, tune in next time where we'll have another guest speaker poet and tackle another of the Insta poetry giants. Have a good day, everyone. Bye.